ज्ञानाञ्जनाचलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। This very sacred place has been a place of worship since time immemorial. The word Udupi means the moon or the Lord of the stars, because at this place the god of the moon, Chandra, who was cursed by Daksha, came to worship Lord Mahadev for the purpose of being relieved of the symptoms of that, the reactions of that curse. This temple, Chandramalishwara, is the place where Chandra had the darshan of Lord Shiva and was relieved of the reactions of the curse upon him. So this is the original temple of Udupi. It has been here for a long, long time, since ancient history. And the next temple we'll go to is the Anantishwar temple, which also has a very great significance. We can discuss this at that time. Hare Krishna. Parasuram conquered the Kshatriyas 21 generations. He performed tapasya, and that was at Kurukshetra. And during his tapasya, he gave all of the land that he conquered to the Brahmanas. And he wanted a place where he could do his bhajan as a Brahman. So he came to this part, and he did not want to take back what he had given to the Brahmins. So he already had given away all the land on earth. So what he did is he shot his arrow into the sea, and Varuna, who is the servant of the Lord, reciprocated by withdrawing the sea. And from approximately the place of Gokarna down to Kanyakumari, the sea withdrew and land manifested, which was new land. And that was called Parasuram Kshetra, where he performed his bhajan. Now, there was a wonderful story in which Lord Parasuram instructed Lord Shiva with the various mantras and various arts of battle. And then Parasuram asked Lord Shiva to teach him. So Lord Shankar Mahadev trained up Parasuram in the art of fighting. And then Parasuram asked Lord Shiva what dakshin he would like. And Lord Mahadev said that in this place, I want you to be worshipped in the form of a Shiva lingam. So that was agreed upon. The Lord Parasuram, who's actually Vishnu avatar, agreed to be worshipped in the form of a Shiva linga. Later on, there was a Brahman who wanted to have children. He was a very great devotee, and he came to this place and he performed puja. And Ananta Padmanabh, Vishnu, sitting on the beautiful Ananta Shesha, appeared before him and told him that there was a beautiful silver platform where yajna was to be performed from ancient times. And if he were to offer oblations in the center of that platform, then a Shivalinga would appear. But he said, in fulfillment of Parasaram's boon to Lord Shiva, you should know that that Shivalinga is actually Ananta Padmanabh, Vishnu. So he performed that yajna, and in this place, a beautiful Shivalinga appeared, and that linga is actually Lord Vishnu. It's understood in two ways. One is that Vishnu appeared in the Shivalinga, and also that Vishnu is always in the heart of Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva is the greatest of Vaishnavas. So it is Shiva, but we worship Vishnu within the heart of the Shivalinga. So this Shivalinga is actually Ananteshwar, because it is Vishnu who is always laying on Ananta, the Lord of Ananta, who has appeared in this way, Anant Ishwar. And this is the place that Madhya Geha Bhat came and performed tapasya every day for 12 years in front of this deity, worshipping and praying for a great son who would deliver the world. And it was here at this temple, Ananteshwar, that one day as he was performing his prayers, the pujari said that a great avatar of Vayu will soon be born by the mercy of Ananteshwar Vishnu. And we know that that great personality was Madhvacharya. And Madhvacharya would regularly give teachings here for many, many years. And in this place, through this window behind us, you'll see a silver Singhasan, and there is a platform in the middle of that. That is where Madhvacharya would sit and give his lessons from the scriptures to his disciples. And when he was 79 years old, while giving a lecture in this place, in the midst of his narration, his body disappeared from earthly vision and went to Badrik Ashram, and the garland that he was wearing just fell down. And it was understood by his explanation before this wonderful pastime that his body would go to Badrik Ashram to be with his Gurudev Vedavyas, but that his spirit would always be here in Udupi. And this particular place, the sitting place of Madhvacharya, is very, very important. So important that years later, one of the Swamis of the Madhva Sampradaya decided to install a deity here. So he had carved a beautiful stone deity. And the night before the installation, Madhvacharya appeared to him and told him that you may not see, but I am always sitting on that seat, and you should not put this big piece of stone on my head. So they decided to not install the deity, but devotees with faith can understand that Madhvacharya is always sitting there, and at this time we can have darshan. The tradition in Udupi is when people come, they first go to Chandramalishwar temple, because Lord Shiva instructed Lord Vishnu in the military sciences. So first we offer obeisances to him, and then we come to Lord Vishnu within this beautiful form of a Shivalinga, Anantishwar. Then we take the blessings of Madhvacharya, and then we go to the Udupi Krishna temple. And first you're supposed to see through the window outside and then go in. So we will do like that. At this time, everyone, offer your prayers and obeisances to Shripad Madhvacharya, Ananteshwar, Narayan, and continue kirtan. Hare Krishna. Madhvacharya was just a small boy. He left his home in Pajaka Kshetra to come to Udupi to live at the mat of Achyuta Preksha, who was a very great and learned sannyasi, when Madhvacharya was only the age of 12, he accepted the renounced order from Achyuta Preksha. While living at the ashram of his Guru Maharaj, they would take their bath each day here. And Madhvacharya decided he wanted to go south, North India, to take his bath in the Ganges. But Achyuta Preksha could not bear the idea of separation from his beloved disciple. So to fulfill the wish of the devotees, Mother Ganga appeared in the corner of this kund and filled it with her waters and gave the benediction that every 12 years on a particular auspicious day she will personally come and fill this kund with her waters. So Madhvacharya took his bath here and remained in Udupi for some time. And after Madhvacharya discovered the beautiful deity of Krishna in the Gopi Chandan, he brought him back from the sea, carrying him on his shoulder, and was singing beautiful hymns in glorification of Krishna, which are still sung to this day. They were composed as he was carrying Krishna back. And he brought Krishna first to this kund and bathed Krishna very carefully to remove all the gopi chandan that was upon his transcendental body, and then installed him where the temple is today. So Madhvacharya would regularly bathe here, and he taught his pujaris. Later he initiated 8 sannyasis who became the acharyas of the 8 mats, and entrusted the worship of Udupi Krishna to those great personalities, and taught them very, very high and very strict disciplines and standards. And one of those is, before any of these sannyasis do their pujas, they come to this place, Madhvacharya's own personal bathing place, to purify themselves. And at this particular time, the Parayaya Swami is calling for us, so we are to hurry to go to meet him. Hare Krishna. He initiated 8 of his foremost disciples into sannyas, and he put each one in charge of a mutt. And through disciplic succession, each mutt was to carry on through the generations. Madhvacharya had such a vision of the future that he instituted his mission in such a way that things would carry on for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years. So the way he arranged it is, each of these 8 sannyasis were the acharya of respective mats, and each would have 2 months of worshipping the deity, and then they would rotate. Something like the rotating presidency of Radha Gopinath Temple. And he personally established the standards of the deity worship. Very, very high standard. He made the rule that no one could directly worship the deity or touch the deity except the Parayaya Swami. That means that's sannyasi. And in order to be a sannyasi in these mats, you have to be Naistika Brahmachari. Generally, they give people sannyas when they're very young, 8, 9, 10, 12 years old, like that. I think Pedro Aramatswami took sannyas when he was around less than 10. And then they remain sannyasis. They're called bal sannyasis. They're made sannyasis generally when they're very young, before they've ever... none of the sannyasis have ever been married or anything like that. And they are the only ones that are allowed to do direct worship of the deities or touching the deities. And they're trained according to very, very high and very, very strict standards of puja. And each sannyasi has a junior sannyasi who, after the senior sannyasi leaves this world, the junior sannyasi becomes the acharya. And that junior sannyasi is trained from his childhood generally into the very high and strict standards of the deity worship and conduct. After some time, one of the very, very great acharyas of Madhva's line, his name was Vadiraj Swami. He really created a renaissance in Madhvacharya's sampradaya. He's the one who established so many of the temples in this area. And he changed the pariyaya term to 2 years instead of 2 months, so that there would be more continuity and more a sense of responsibility of carrying on the worship, and gives the Swami also opportunity to, and the time to perform so much more service to the Lord. So at the time of Vadiraj Swami, the pariyaya term was 2 years instead of 2 months, which is what it is at present. Since the time of Madhvacharya, these 8 mutts have their headquarters on the Kar Street around the temple of Krishna. And that is where the acharyas train their disciples and preach. And each one has their own particular deity, which were also given by Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya gave each of the 8 Swamijis a particular deity to be the prominent deity of the mutt to be worshipped. And if you go into each of these 8 mutts, you'll find they're all constructed very similarly, and in the center is the deity that Madhvacharya had given them. After every 2 years, there's a big, big festival, the biggest festival within the traditions is that festival where once Swamiji hands over the worship of Krishna to the next. Tens and thousands of people come. It's in the month of January every 2 years. So that will be coming up this coming January. It's a wonderful explosion of devotion as all of these sannyasis come. And the Pariyaya Swami, before he takes the worship, first he goes on a yatra to different holy places. And then he calls all of the sannyasis, who are the acharyas of mutts, to give him his blessings. And only after all of that does he take the charge of the deities. Later on, 4 other mutts were established, I believe. Now there's 12 mutts. But the 8 pariyaya swamis are the ones who actually do the deity worship. But the... sometimes you'll see that when one Swamiji wants to share, he can call one of the other Swamijis to also assist him in the deity worship. But no one else can do. So this is one of the mutts that we are sitting in. And this Adhamar Swami, he has invited us for prasad. So sometime in the near future, we will be honoring the holy remnants of Lord Krishna in this very ancient and sacred place. Thank you. Janaka sang beautiful songs in glorification of Krishna. At that time, this was a wall. And while he was singing one day, there was an earthquake, and it made a big crack in the wall so he could see right through to see Krishna. And then Variraj Swami, he decided so that Kanaka could always have the nice darshan, he made a window where that crack was. And devotees first offer their obeisances to this great Vaishnava, Kanakaji, and then they have darshan of Udupi Krishna first through this window, then go inside to have darshan of the deity close. Just to either purify or give pleasure to his devotees. Whatever diseases we may get, or whatever cold or heat, or whatever happiness or distress, we should know that Krishna is orchestrating material nature just according to the needs for your purification. The street is hot under your feet. Everything is orchestrated by Krishna for the purification of his devotees. But for those who are very, very great devotees, like Kanakaji, Krishna orchestrated an earthquake specifically to make a crack into the wall so he could have darshan of beautiful Krishna as he was singing his glory. Udupi Krishna ki jai! Was a great Paramhamsa Vaishnava of the name Lakshmipati Tirtha. And Madhavendra Puri, who descended from the spiritual sky, who had the unique realization of Srimati Radharani's love. Only Lord Chaitanya, Sri Radharani, and Madhavendra Puri understood the depth of the prayers of Srimati Radharani in her moods of separation from Sri Krishna. So this great Vaishnava accepted Diksha in the parampara of the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. Madhavendra Puri's devotional service was unparalleled. He first introduced the depth of the realizations of conjugal love in this great sampradaya. Sri Ishwara Puri was his very humble servant, who he empowered with all of his potencies. And the Yugavatars, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accepted initiation from Srila Ishwara Puri. It is described that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially accepted the Madhva Sampradaya because of the very strong and uncompromising refutation of monistic philosophy, which is so much a plague to the spiritual lives of everyone within this age of Kali Yuga. The Mayavad conceptions discrediting and even negating the form, the pastimes, the names of the Lord as being illusion. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this Madhva Sampradaya and worshipped all the acharyas of this Sampradaya. And during his tour of South India, he came to the place of Udupi. This is described in a very wonderful way by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. When he came to the land of Udupi, he came to this temple, and seeing the beautiful deity of Udupi Krishna, who Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami calls Nartak Gopal, Dancing Gopal, Lord Chaitanya began to dance in transcendental ecstasy. As he was dancing, the symptoms of ecstatic love were manifesting on his body, and people all around came to see his beautiful chanting and dancing. At that time, some of the Swamijis of the Sampradaya who were conducting the affairs of the temple, they thought that Lord Chaitanya must be a Mayavad sannyasi. So they did not speak a word to him, because the Mayavad acharyas are trained that the only time they mix with Mayavad sannyasis is to defeat them. Otherwise, they have no association. Mayavadi bhasya sunile hoi sarvanasha. That one who hears from Mayavad, their devotion is ruined. But when they saw the symptoms of bhakti manifesting on Lord Chaitanya's beautiful golden form, symptoms they had never seen before, they understood that he is truly a great devotee. So they greeted him. And Lord Chaitanya sensed that at that time the particular sannyasis had a certain type of pride of their Vaishnavism. Lord Chaitanya taught Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, that one should be utterly humble. One should not even be proud that he's a devotee. One should not even be proud that he's a great Vaishnava. One should simply be proud of Guru, Krishna, and other Vaishnavas. But one should always consider oneself in the most lowly position. So he accepted a mood in which he approached these Swamijis and asked, what is the goal of life and how to achieve it? And the leader of the time explained with great authority that by following very carefully the system of varna and ashram, and offering one's fruits of one's duty in the service of Krishna, one can go back home, back to Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya explained, this is not the true meaning and the true goal and purpose of life. The real means is by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, by which we can purify our heart, and the ultimate goal is pure unalloyed devotion to the Lord. The devotee is not concerned whether he goes back to Godhead or whether he goes to hell. Narayana parasarave nakutashtina bibhyate swarga pabarga narakeshu apitulyarta darshan. In this temple, Lord Chaitanya quoted this verse. He said, a devotee is not concerned whether he's in heaven, hell, or the spiritual world. He's only concerned with pleasing Krishna and serving Krishna. The Varnashram system is meant to create an atmosphere in society by which spirituality can flourish. But that spirituality, the essence of it is the nine processes of devotional service. Sravana Kirtana Vishnu Smarana Pada Sevanam Archanam Bandhanam Dasyam Atma Sakyam Atma Nivedanam. And by practicing the 9 processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the names and glories of the Lord, one gradually becomes purified within heart, and through this process one awakens unconditional love of God. Then he explained that you are teaching something that is mixed with a desire for fruitive activity and mental speculation. And when the Swamijis at the time heard and saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's uncompromising presentation of pure Vaishnavism, they were very much impressed and agreed and explained, "Everything you said is true." In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Udupi and he inaugurated the Yuga Dharma, which is the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And even if we are practicing other forms of Vaishnavism, other forms of Varnashram and Dharma, based on service to Krishna and going back to Godhead, Lord Chaitanya wanted to establish that this Harinam Sankirtan is essential. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gati randyata. That in this age of Kali Yuga there is no other way than the congregational chanting of the holy names. So it was in this very place Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing so blissfully before the beautiful form of Krishna. And by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we are all here together in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the exact same place that his lotus feet were dancing. We are also dancing for the pleasure of Lord Sri Krishna. You all know the wonderful story of this deity, but the more we hear it, the more joy we experience. And especially hearing it in this holy place, we become especially purified. It is explained that in Dwarka, Devaki approached Krishna, who at that time was the king of Dwarka, Dwarkadish. He had 16,108 queens and palaces. He was living in great royalty and opulence. But Devaki was expressing that the very night of your appearance in this world, by your order you left across Jamuna to Gokul, and there we exchanged you with Yogamaya, and you remained in the house of Yashoda and Nanda. And I have heard the beautiful pastimes of your Bal Leela, how you used to play so many pranks and mischief, and how you would steal the butter from the gopis, and I desire to see those pastimes. Because Krishna did not come back to Mathura to see Devaki until he was about 12 years and 8 months old. And at that time, it is explained because Yashodamai gave him such very, very nutritious milk from the best possible cows, he looked like he was 16. And when when Devaki saw Krishna, he was not being bound and trembling and crying in front of Mother Yashoda, but rather he was killing the wrestlers Chanura and Mustika. Very different Leela. So she was very much anxious to see this wonderful Leela. So for the pleasure of his mother, Krishna transformed his transcendental form into the beautiful Bal Gopal, holding a churning rod and a rope, and holding some food in his hand. And then he began to play the beautiful Leela in front of Yashoda. He even jumped on her lap and began to drink milk from her breast. And he was in such a wonderful mood that Devaki had never experienced such an ecstasy of love before. Rukmini, the principal queen of Krishna, happened to be watching this whole pastime from a secret place. And when she saw this beautiful form of Gopal Gopal, even her heart was overwhelmed with love that she had never experienced. So she requested Krishna, "I want to worship you in this form." So Krishna called for Vishwakarma, and Vishwakarma constructed a beautiful, beautiful murti of Krishna in his childhood lila, holding the rod for churning butter and the rope that is used to turn that rod. And Chaitanya Charitamrita also explains that he has butter in his hand. And Rukmini worshipped that deity each and every day in her own private quarters. After Krishna left this world at Prabhas Chetra, Arjuna came to Rukmini's palace, and he personally took this deity and placed it in Rukmini's garden for safekeeping. And as time went on, the deity was covered in the ground with Gopi Chandan. Madhvacharya was then living here in Udupi. He had already taken sannyas from Achyuta Preksha. He had already traveled on a whole tour of southern India and established Vaishnava philosophy according to the Dvaita principles, and he defeated all opposition. There were so many different types of philosophers in South India. There was the Shankarites, there was the Jains, there was the Buddhists, there was the followers of Charvak Muni, there was the Karmakandis, there was the Yogis. And he was so powerful, so compassionate, that he would simultaneously charm their hearts and devastate their misconceptions. He came back from his tour of South India, and he decided he wanted to write commentaries on the Vedic literatures. But before doing so, he wanted the blessings of Srila Vedavyas. So he took a tour with some of his disciples he had already made. One was named Satyatirtha. And they went all the way to Badrik Ashram. And Madhvacharya, for many, many days, he fasted, performed tapasya, bathing in the Alaknanda River, and then he decided to go to Adibadri, way deep in the Himalayas. Satyatirtha tried to follow him, but he was not able to do so. Way, way up in the snow, he was falling behind. So Madhvacharya, just with a wave of his hand, being the son of Vayu, Satyatirtha, just within a second, through the airways, he flew back to the temple of Naranarayan Rishi in Badrinath, where the other devotees were waiting. And Madhvacharya alone went to the hermitage of Srila Vedavyas, and there he surrendered his life at the lotus feet and accepted initiation. And he began to read his commentaries from Bhagavad Gita, and Vedavyas approved of them and gave his blessings that he comment on the Vedic literatures. With that blessing, Madhvacharya returned, and he toured to many places. Eventually he came back to Udupi, and he began to pray to Lord Krishna that he wanted to establish a beautiful murti that he could worship and train all of his disciples to worship. So Krishna, hearing that prayer in the form of Rukmini's deity in Dwaraka, decided to come personally to fulfill the prayer and desire of Sri Madhvacharya. So by the Lord's own inconceivable transcendental arrangement of love, a mercantile man who carried various riches on boat from Dwarka to the southern part of India. He needed some weights to balance the boat, so he picked up this big lump of Gopi Chandan and he placed it on the boat. And as the boat was traveling along the coastline, Madhvacharya decided to go and sit by the shore of the ocean, and he was praying for the appearance of Krishna and glorifying Krishna with great love. And just at that time, that boat fell into a storm and began to sink. And the boatman saw this beautiful, effulgent sannyasi, who was also very well built and strong. And he called to him for help. And Madhvacharya, just by his own transcendental love of God, he was able to stop the storm and bring the boat safely to the shore. At which time the boatman offered him any of the riches on the boat. He said, "You can just give me some Gopi Chandan. You are coming from Dwarka." So they took off the big, big block of Gopi Chandan, and it cracked open, and the beautiful form of Krishna gave darshan to Sripad Madhvacharya. And then he began to worship that deity. And Srila Prabhupada said 30 men could not lift it. It was so heavy. But Madhvacharya single-handedly lifted it up and carried it back to the place where the ancient deities of Chandramalishwar and Anantishwar have been for so long time. And he brought the deity here. And as he was walking with the deity, he chanted beautiful, beautiful prayers to Lord Krishna. And these slokas that he recited and composed are still worshipped and sung by the great devotees of the Madhva Sampradaya to this very day. He brought the deity to the Sarovar, the small lake, and he bathed the deity here, and then brought him exactly to this place and installed him. And then he established, as we have said before, very, very high and very pure standards of worship. And he entrusted to his 8 sannyasi disciples the responsibility to maintain these standards for all time to come. So the beautiful presence of Narthak Gopal Krishna here in Udupi is the lila of love between him and the great devotee Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya was such an empowered personality. Physically, he was so strong and powerful that one time when Satyatirtha was attacked by a tiger, Madhvacharya effortlessly just threw the tiger away. He just separated and threw him, and the tiger, like a small dog, just ran for its life. The great wrestler, who was said to be as powerful as 30 men, heard of Madhvacharya's strength and challenged him to a wrestling match. And Madhvacharya said, "You see if you could lift my toe from the ground." And for a long time, he just strained and struggled, but he could not separate the toe of Madhvacharya from the ground until he was so exhausted he fell to the ground. He was very powerful. At the same time, he was a beautiful dancer. He danced in such a way that it would charm the hearts of anyone who would see. And he loved to sing kirtan in praise of Lord Krishna. And his voice was sweet like that of a Gandharva. He was a very excellent poet, composer of music. He also would arrange wonderful dramas here in Udupi. He was really, in every level, he was a master of devotion. And he trained his disciples in the same way. Sripad Madhvacharya His commentary on Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Upanishads are very, very much worshipped and inspired the acharyas of our Gaudiya Sampradaya. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada often quotes the commentaries of Sripad Madhvacharya. So this was his base. After some time, after installing the deities and training his disciples, he decided to go again to see his Guru Maharaj Vedavyas in Badrikashram. So he traveled there. This time he had many disciples with him. And again receiving Vedavyas' blessings, Vedavyas also gave him some Shalagram Shilas. And he took those Shalagram Shilas, there were eight of them, and he gave them to each of his eight sannyasis. And in each of the mutts is the Shalagram Shila that was personally given by Vedavyas to Madhvacharya and then given to each of the sannyasis. On his way back from this trip in Badrikashram, he stopped in Kurukshetra, and he was giving his disciples a parikrama of the whole battlefield of Kurukshetra. Because in his previous avatar, he was Bhima, so he knew everything that happened. And he was pointing places where different battles and different pastimes took place that nobody knew. And he came to a mound in the ground, and he dug under that mound, and there he uncovered the club of Bhima that was so famous in the history of Mahabharata. And after giving them that darshan, he placed it back in the ground, and it has never to be seen since that day. The pastimes of Sripad Madhvacharya are like an ocean. It is explained that Madhvacharya never wrote that Kshetra is the place where Sripad Madhvacharya appeared in this world. Madhya Geha Bhat and his virtuous wife Vedavati had no son. They tried, but on several occasions their issue died just after birth. So they came to this place, and every day Madhya Geha Bhat would walk all the way to Udupi, to the Ananteshwar temple, and perform tapasya and pray to Ananteshwar that a empowered son who could establish Sanatana Dharma in the world be born. So one day, while he was doing his worship, the pujari of Ananteshwar temple announced during a festival that a messenger of the Lord, an avatar of Vayu, will soon be born. So Madhya Geha Bhat understood that this was a prophecy. And soon after that, on the auspicious day of Dasera, Vijayadashami, Sripad Madhvacharya was born in this place of Pajakshetra. And so many of his wonderful childhood pastimes took place here. This stone that we are sitting beside was the place that Madhvacharya, when he was a child, would study the Vedic literatures from his father. At that time, his name was Vasudev. And when he was just a small child, he amazed everyone by his deep, deep understanding of the Vedic literatures. When he was hardly 5 years old, he was a master of Vedic knowledge and able to very much establish the pure principles of Vaishnavism. Madhvacharya is very much known and loved for his deep and profound transcendental knowledge and his great empowerment to establish pure Vaishnavism. So this is a very, very important place, especially for the followers of the Madhva Sampradaya, because it is the place where little Vasudev began his studies and readings of the Vedas under the tutelage of his father. We should pray for Madhvacharya's causeless mercy, that he bless us, empower us to preach Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's his own message in such a way to transform people's hearts and awaken devotion from within them. Hare Krishna. Time of Mahabharata, named Maniman, came in the form of a serpent, and he began to roar. It was terrible, and then he attacked the little child Vasudev, who was only hardly 5 years old, small child. And Madhva, with his lotus foot, crushed the head of the serpent and killed it. And this is the place where he's with his lotus toe, he crushed the head of this terrible, terrible demon. This shows the story. There's Hanuman, Bhima, and Madhva as a small child, crushing the serpent with his toe. And the original form of the serpent, this terrible demon, is also shown. Impression that was made by his toe pushing against the demon's head. And then from here, because he was late in the process of killing this demon, he was late and his mother was calling him. So from this very spot, he jumped to his home. And we saw just now the rock that he landed on when he jumped. Haribo. Paramatswami, who I came here once with, he told me that this is the impression of the snake as he was crawling.
White lion?
Yes. See how it goes way back? Pray to Madhvacharya that by taking shelter of his lotus feet, he will also crush the serpent of envy within our hearts.